Healer, Episode 2. Written by J.K. Swift, author of the Forest Nights series. Performed by Brad Wills. To learn more about the author, please visit jkswift.com. They made better time now. Dinah rode along the valley floor with Cairn, directly toward Hagen's Pass, the easiest way through the Three Brothers Mountains, while Speller crisscrossed the trail a mile ahead to make sure their adversary didn't stray from the valley and head up to the ridgeline where he could make for one of the other two passes. Dinah hadn't seen Speller for almost 3 hours. Just when she began to feel anxious, Cairn brushed her arm and gestured ahead in the distance. He stood up in the stirrups, shielding his eyes to get a better view. Speller came in riding hard. The way he was bent low over his saddle, his cloak billowing out behind with the hood thrown back, filled Dinah with a growing sense of dread. He came amongst them, his horse rearing with adrenaline and foaming at the corners of its mouth, its black coat slick with sweat. Cairn sat patiently waiting for Speller to catch his breath. He took only a moment, but to Dinah it seemed an eternity before he spoke.
"We have problems. The party of Vagrian raiders have picked up our man's trail."
"That can't be. There haven't been Vagrians this far south for 20 years, Cairn said. Speller shook his head and took a quick mouthful from his water skin.
"No doubt they're Vagrians. I found the remains of one of their blood ponies."
Dinah watched Cairn's face turn pale. She too knew the stories. The Vagrians were a barbaric people that lived in the northern wastes and mountain ranges. They were unschooled in the ways of farming because they chose a nomadic lifestyle that allowed them to take from those weaker than themselves. Before the border guards were formed, they would sweep down south, killing and taking whatever they could. Before Dinah was born, the border guards managed to push them back further into the Northlands. They were excellent warriors and horse people, capable of covering great distances with their blood ponies. Each raiding party took an extra string of ponies along, which the raiders would cut slightly with their jagged daggers when they needed nourishment, and drink the blood. When the pony became too weak from loss of blood to continue on the journey, it was slaughtered and eaten raw. Border guards told stories of giving chase to Vagrians and watching them ride for days, occasionally bending low over their saddles to suck blood out of the necks of the very horses they were riding.
"How long ago was the pony slaughtered?" Cairn asked.
"Last night sometime, best I can tell," Speller answered.
"Let's go have a look."
As they rode out of the lightly treed woods and into a clearing, Dinah's mare clipped the side of a poplar, starting a soft shower of dried yellow leaves. A few drifted into her hair and clung there. She ignored them. Cairn threw one leg over his horse's head and slid to the ground to join Speller in examining several sets of prints. As Dinah dismounted, she drew in a breath to test the scent of the bloodied pony carcass on the other side of the clearing. Pungent, but not enough to sting her nose or blur the eyes. She confirmed in her own mind that it was indeed a fresh kill, as Speller had said. Speller gestured to the ground.
"Looks to be about a dozen horses with riders, and maybe another 4 or 5 without. Those would be more blood ponies, I imagine."
Dinah wondered if he was gleaning his information from the same chewed-up ground she was looking at. All she could tell was that many horses had ridden over this earth sometime since the last heavy rain. Cairn walked over to the edge of the bank and nodded in the direction of the valley floor.
4 riders split up from the main group and headed down this way."
Speller stood and stretched his back, then pursed his lips and focused on the ground leading up to Cairn.
"Seems they could be going to meet up with our man while the main force keeps going south."
He looked at Cairn.
"Can't say that I'm keen on catching up with 5 men, especially when they're Vagrians."
Cairn walked swiftly over to his horse and swung himself up.
"We ride single file, Speller leading, and Dinah, you in the rear. We'll have to move more slowly now and take care tracking. We don't want any of them circling around behind us." There was a firmness in his voice that Dina found discomforting. They followed the trail down the hill and along the forest floor until it intersected with the tracks of the lone man they had been following. The Vagrians had dismounted here, and several footprints could be made out in the soft ground.
"This is some good sign," Speller said. "I'd best cut some tracking switches while we're here."
He disappeared into the brush and returned with some thin branches, which he began laying on the ground near the footprints. Dina and Cairn kept back so as not to disturb the scene while Speller worked.
"What's he doing?"
Dina asked Cairn. Cairn stretched in the saddle.
"He's cutting those sticks to the exact length of each man's stride. That way he can keep track of what prints belong to what man. No two men have the exact same stride."
Dina felt a building sense of wariness hidden beneath Cairn's words. A low whistle from Speller caught their attention. They rode over to where Speller crouched near the ground, next to a pile of horse droppings. He had a pensive frown on his face.
"Did they meet up here?"
Cairn asked. Speller reached deep into the pile, pulled out a handful of droppings, and squeezed them tightly so they slid through his fingers and fell to the ground. He then passed his hand in front of his nose a few times.
"This dung is older than the Vagrian's tracks, and I couldn't find any sign that our man stopped here. They didn't catch up with him here."
Cairn raised his eyebrows.
"Want a sniff for yourself?"
Speller smiled and held his encrusted palm out to Cairn.
"I'll take you on your word," Cairn said.
Speller rubbed his hands together and then wiped them on his cloak.
"There's one more thing. From what I see here, it looks like four men dismounted and walked around this area carefully, like they were reading sign and trying to decide what to do. They walked up and down our man's tracks a half dozen times."
Cairn looked at Speller and nodded slowly, starting to follow his reasoning.
"As though they didn't know his destination. You don't think our man is a Vagrian?" he said.
"I think they were intending on carrying along the ridge going south, but one of their outriding scouts picked up our man's tracks down here. After the scout reported back to the main host, these four Vagrian raider scum were sent to follow this lone man's tracks and see what they could get from him."
"But if he's not a Vagrian," Dina asked, "then who is he? And why did he attack my master?"
Speller shrugged.
"We won't find out staying put here. And I got the feeling that if we don't find our man before the Vagrians do, we aren't ever gonna know."
They rode with a sense of urgency now. Even Speller had become more serious. There was no more humming or dancing as he dismounted and scoured the ground for prints.
"Woods are quiet. Men have passed through here not long ago,"
Speller said. As if to confirm his thoughts, the forest suddenly vibrated with a series of far-off muffled screams that could only be human. Dina couldn't risk losing the blade to the Vagrians. She spurred her mare into a reckless gallop through the trees toward the cries.
"Dina, wait!"
Cairn cursed and whipped the reins on both sides of his horse's neck to charge after her. A minute later, Dina rounded a corner and burst through the trees into a clearing filled with carnage. Bodies were scattered all around, blood soaked, and with legs twisted at odd angles beneath them. The closest one lay eviscerated, steaming entrails piled neatly beside the Vagrian's leather and fur-clad remains. She jumped off her horse, adrenaline flowing as her eyes jumped from corpse to corpse. She counted five prone figures. Almost immediately, she identified the one furthest from her as a non-Vagrian by the simple yet oddly familiar robe he wore. And then he moved. The man's body began to tremble and shake, and when he popped up into a sitting position, she heard a high-pitched maniacal laughter that froze her spine. His robe was covered in blood, but the easy way he bounced up to his feet told Dina it was not his own. In his hand, he held a short, curved blade that was also covered in blood, and yet seemed to shine all the more brilliantly for it. His laughter haltingly subsided, and he forced his clenched eyes slowly open. His face was creased with lines that made him look older than he was. His hair was dark, matted with sweat and streaked with gray. He couldn't have been much older than Dina, and yet... Without warning, his jaw suddenly clenched down tightly, causing a slight tremor to run up one side of his face.
"You shouldn't have come, Dina,"
he said in a gravel voice. Hearing him say her name triggered Dina's memory, and her eyes went wide with instant recognition. Cairn was suddenly there, sword drawn, standing in front of her.
"Drop your weapon," he hissed.
The man burst into another fit of laughter.
"If only it were that simple, warder."
Dina put her hand on Cairn's shoulder. She could feel the coiled tension within.
"Cairn, stop! I know this man," she said. His name is Danley. Danley of Willoughby."
Cairn tensed under her hand, but kept his eyes on the man in front. "He is touched by madness, Dina. Any man you once knew is no longer there." The man began taking halting steps towards them and said,
"He is right, Keeper. I am no longer the boy you knew. I haven't seen Willoughby for 6 years. I am now a great wanderer. I have traveled through the Midlands all the way to the Eastern Sea. I have seen the world."
His eyes went wide as he threw open his arms and held his face up to the sky. He looked down when he stumbled slightly and kicked a severed limb from one of the dead Vagrians out of his path.
"And yet," he continued, "the world proved too small to lose myself in, so I find myself back here. The beginning."
He looked at Dina, and his shoulders visibly sagged under some unseen weight. In that moment, Dina thought she glimpsed in his eyes the same innocence she remembered in the 14-year-old boy she had met at the healer's acolyte ceremony years past in Willoughby. Just as quickly it was gone, replaced by a malevolence that took her breath away.
"You should never have come, but the old fool knew you would. It was crafty, the way he made me cut him with Quillivan."
As he spoke, he wiped his gleaming blade on his open hand and watched a small stream of blood trickle down to his elbow. Dina pushed herself out from behind Cairn.
"Danley, stop this madness. You are a healer. Have you no respect for the vows we took together?"
His jaw began grinding again until he let out a dry laugh.
"You don't know, do you? I am no more a healer than you. But how could you know? They dared not tell us for fear of corrupting our hearts. For they said that is all we have to protect ourselves in the end."
He spit out the words and then closed his eyes, seeming to fight a momentary struggle deep within.
"Believe me, Dina, what I do now, I do for your very soul."
He opened his eyes and continued walking towards them, steadily picking up speed and raising the wicked-looking curved blade in his right hand. His face twisted in agony, and he screamed as he charged, tears streaming down his cheeks. Cairn launched himself forward and thrust his sword towards the madman's heart. The air rang with the sound of steel as the short, curved blade deflected Cairn's thrust and slashed toward his face. The warder stumbled back, narrowly avoiding the strike, but quickly regained his balance. Dina watched with a mixture of awe and horror. Once Cairn had recovered from the surprise of his heart thrust being deflected, he attacked with a calm detachment, using combination movements that were fluid and as beautiful to watch as they were deadly. His weapon blended with his body, balancing and counterbalancing in harmony with every strike and parry. Danley and his weapon, however, seemed at odds with one another. He was all speed and power, a jerky marionette, but every bit as effective as Cairn. Back and forth they fought, Danley coming on stronger and faster with every passing second, while Cairn struggled to keep the fight away from Dina. He found opening after opening, but just as it seemed his sword would pierce his enemy's flesh, the short sword would appear from an impossible angle and smash his long sword aside with a fury that sent painful vibrations up Cairn's sword arm. The warder held his sword with two hands now and drew ragged breaths through his mouth. Dina was dimly aware that Speller stood to her left, his recurve bow nocked with an arrow and drawn. The arrow point followed the movements of the two men, waiting for an opening. Finally, Speller cursed, tossed the bow aside, and drew his sword. Danley's elated cackle sounded again as he pushed the assault. Long, powerful, sweeping blows came at the warder from all directions. Cairn parried, but the intensity buckled his knees for a split second. Danley spun low in a whirlwind blur. His gleaming blade sliced across Cairn's thigh as it emitted a soft hissing and almost invisible tendril of smoke. Cairn screamed and dropped to the ground, eyes clenched in excruciating pain. Dina watched helplessly as what should have been only a superficial cut completely disabled Cairn. Danley stood over the warder, raising his weapon for a death strike. With no idea how she was going to stop him, she charged towards Danley, but Speller was already there. The older man blocked Danley's blow with his sword, and Dina heard a series of snaps that she recognized as bones being broken in Speller's wrist and forearm. With an agonized curse, the hardened tracker managed to catch his sword with his other hand and block Danley's next swinging blow. The force of the attack snapped Speller's blade and sent him hurtling through the air to land on his back 10 feet away.
"Danley, stop!"
Dina yelled as the man turned back and hovered over Cairn. Danley's head twisted slowly towards her, but his blade continued to carve a slow arc up to finish off the warder still writhing in pain on the ground.
"You know this is wrong. It's not too late. I can help you."
She struggled to keep her voice steady, but it quavered. Tears blurred her eyes, and she had to avoid looking at Cairn helpless on the ground, or she knew every last bit of control she possessed would vanish. Danley ground his jaw. The muscles in his neck corded as he spoke.
"Fly, Dina! Flee this place! For if you do not, Quelevon will surely have you, as she does me!" "Danley, put the sword down. Let me help you." "You cannot. He believed you were ready, just as they once thought I was."
A bit of blood appeared at the corner of his mouth from a bitten tongue or cheek, but he didn't seem to notice.
"No one can ever be ready for this."
His eyes clamped shut, and from deep within, a slow, soft moaning sound gradually became a deep-throated laugh. He raised his blade to strike. A cloth-yard arrow shaft appeared in the middle of his chest so suddenly that Dina had to blink and wondered for a moment if it hadn't always been there. Movement to her left caught her attention. Speller lay on his back, his bow held horizontally by his feet, while his unbroken arm knocked another arrow. Grimacing in pain, he leaned back to stretch the string taut and let the arrow fly. The second arrow hit Danley in the stomach, its razor-sharp broadhead tip slicing an exit hole through his back. Danley stumbled and looked at the protruding shafts in wonder.
He never saw Cairn come up on one knee and sweep his sword around. It caught Danley's sword arm just below the elbow, severing it cleanly. Still kneeling, Cairn continued through with the swing to clasp his blade with both hands above his head and thrust it straight forward into Danley's heart. This time the stroke was true. Danley's eyes glossed over, and he let out a long exhalation of air as he slumped to the ground beside his severed arm, its hand still clutching tightly around the shimmering short sword. This has been Healer, Episode 2, written by J.K. Swift, author of the Forest Knights series, performed by Brad Wills. To learn more about the author, please visit jkswift.com. Production services by SpellboundAudio.com.